And welcome to On Reflections. You're joined today and every other day by myself, Renette,
Christina,
and Cindy.
In today's episode, we're going to talk about whether the ideal ratio is 50-50 in a relationship. I thought this would be interesting to discuss because some time ago I came across some memes which got a little chuckle out of me. So I'll give you a couple of examples. Okay. A relationship should be 50-50. He buys the hoodies and I steal them. Yes. A relationship should be 50-50. I get drunk with my girls and he picks me up. Yeah. A relationship should be 50-50. He drives me around while I look cute in the passenger seat.
Say it loud for the people in the back.
So let's get our thoughts on this. Like, how do we feel about the 50-50 ratio? Are we feeling it? Do we go by it? Or are we not? Like, for it at all? Let's start with Christina.
Well, let me say 50-50 is a scam.
Scam, she says.
So for the longest time, I thought 50-50 wasn't the golden ratio. Like, I really thought 100-100 was the ratio because I felt like giving 50-50 was really only giving half of yourself and not wholly yourself in the whole relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, so 50-50 wasn't cutting it for me, but my opinion's kind of changed over time a bit over that, but I'll touch on it later on.
Giving 100% each, sometimes we can't just do that, especially all the time. You know, we're not feeling tip-top and we can't put in that 100%.
I mean, if you're someone who's emotionally stable, that would be a different story, right?
I think putting in 100% each time and putting in so much, you don't really have time or effort left or enough for yourself, which might cause the whole, like, you know, getting lost in the relationship, because you're putting in so much into the relationship, you don't have anything left for your own, like, individuality. What do you think about that?
I get where you're coming from because I've been in a similar situation growing up where I invested a lot of my time and efforts into a relationship, and in a way my identity kind of was wrapped into that relationship. But I think that's kind of an inexperienced mindset, and you can really learn from that coming out from that type of relationship as well. Like, you can give 100% and still value yourself and who you are and your individuality if you're a mature person who, you know, knows who they are and knows what they stand for, knows where they're going and knows their values and the future and goal they want in their life. It doesn't matter how much you give in your relationship or how much of 100% you give of yourself, you would still have your sense of individuality. Mm. What do you think, Cindy?
I don't agree with the 50-50 ratio, and I do support where you're coming from, Christina, with your old perspective on the 100-100 ratio. Because so sometimes if the other person is going through something, so say like they're depressed and need time alone or going through a crisis, they might actually need time for themselves and they're not able to give that 100%. So this ideal of 100-100 might help compensate for that, because if that other person's already going full max, then the person that can't put in that 100 doesn't feel like any pressure to, if that makes sense.
I think I get where you're coming from. Like, if the person is giving 100% and the other person's giving 100%, it's like you're giving your full max effort. So if you go through a depressive episode and you pull back a bit, like you kind of slack in that sense, the slack is still not as bad as, let's say, you gave 50 and you slack to a 10%. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And there's no need for that other person that's already giving 100 to compensate to make up for both sides on the scale. And additionally, like, I think this 50-50 ratio promotes a more transactional type relationship. So it's more of a tit for tat mentality and you're keeping score. So there's too much focus on giving or taking. And really, I think you should just wake up in the morning and just think, like, what can I do to make my partner's life better? And this encourages a more unconditional approach.
Mm.
So another rule that I read up about is called the 60-40 rule. And it says that you should put in 60 and only expect 40 from your partner, because the reasoning behind this is that if you don't expect too much, you'll get like pleasantly surprised by your partner.
I don't really think that's good to lower your expectations. That's such a negative mindset around it, you know, like, why would you be in a relationship in the first place if you're going to only expect 40?
Yeah, that's true. But I've actually found a different type of ratio that I think is more appropriate to relationships is that it's discussed by a relationship researcher called John Gottman, which mentions a ratio of 5 to 1. So in particular, for every 1 negative feeling or interaction, there must be 5 positive feelings or interactions because, you know, stable and happy couples share more positive feelings and actions than negative ones. To give an example of negative feeling or interaction, this may include feeling lonely and isolated. And like when you have fights with the other person, they might be emotionally dismissive or critical and defensive. Whereas 5 positive interactions could be them being interested in what you're complaining about, showing expressions of affection, and to make your partner feel like they matter. So I think I like this concept more because it focuses more on cultivating positive experiences for both partners instead of a give and take type of mentality.
I think that is kind of tying into my new mentality in the sense that I think generally females are natural givers. Like we give and we love hard, right?
Wait, what's your new mentality? What's your new ratio?
I feel like in a relationship, 50-50 is a scam by a broke man. Because like, okay, maybe from the start you guys can be 50-50, but if you guys build the relationship to a deeper part where you want to have children and you want to move in and all that, it's like, oh, so the woman is expected to carry a kid for 9 months while working, right, while paying half the bills, while looking after the kid when it's just a newborn and paying half the bills, and all the man needs to do is work. You know, that's not really 50-50 over time. And as a woman, wouldn't you want to be able to not pay the bills during that period and actually take time off work and be able to, you know, have a relaxing kind of and healthy birth,
healthy
pregnancy period?
I mean, I guess that's more of a very cliche or generalized view, or maybe even an old kind of view, because I feel like in modern days, like now, it's a bit different now. You know, a lot of women now who are pregnant like work until they're probably like in labor, and or sometimes sometimes the partner or the guy will just stay at home. Like, some, you know, it's a bit different now. I feel like, you know, I've seen a lot that guys stay at home and then the women go out to work because sometimes they prefer it, or it's just like by choice or something, you know. So,
yeah. Men can take pat leave now. So, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess in that sense, it's right. But I feel like if you play role reversal over time, depending on if you're a girl who wants to be a girl, or girl who wants to move in her, I guess you could say, masculine side, it's like, are you going to resent the guy for being feminine? Or maybe that's just me.
So are you saying that women should be doing this and then men should be doing that?
I feel like the 50-50 is not really 50-50, especially over time. It's like, oh, you have to look after the kid and pay the bills while the guy just goes to work.
But like, it could not be like that though. Like, it's not I don't think that's necessarily like a common theme either.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's more common than you say, like a man stays at home.
But I think it also depends on the relationship though. I think some are content with filling out those archaic gender roles, whereas like, you know, Gen Z and stuff, they might be changing that.
Yeah, I get what you mean with that as well, but maybe it's just me and what I've grown up and what I've seen. But yeah, when I was around someone who I felt like I was the man, it's like I resented him over time because it's like, oh, you're not acting like a man. Am I the man?
What do you expect a man to do?
Well, be a provider like my father.
Woman be a provider?
Why can't you be a provider?
Yeah, a woman can be a provider, but let's get real. Like, men are stronger, and if they're not a protector as well, like, we can protect ourselves.
I think I'm pretty strong.
Same.
Yeah, but, like, it's just, like, naturally, you know, a lot of guys are naturally strong. And if you're not a guy who can protect his girl, and if you – because women feed off of security. And if we don't feel secure around someone, it's like, why are we with them?
Yeah, I mean – I get what you're saying, but like, yes, you know, want to feel security and like they are, you know, you want them to be a man and everything. But I feel like, I feel like how I see this is that you're putting like men above women. And I feel like that's another, that's a whole different like thing.
And I think like, you know, I follow the quote, I'm an independent woman who don't need no man. So, you know, I don't need a man to be my protector, you know.
But you want them to be able to add some type of value, you know what I mean? Like extra security. Who would not like extra security in your house, you know?
Like quote-unquote masculine woman would like to be the protector of the man, like the wimpy man.
I think a lot of men are ego-driven and in that sense they'll probably hate the woman over time.
Some men actually like that, like them being
really
I wouldn't say dominated on, but
I think that's in the bedroom. Like, let's relax.
I mean, it's kind of just easy because when you see sometimes, you know, the woman is the boss of the house, like in a family or whatever, like we have to get her approval, like the mom or whatever, and the dad's kind of just like go with it. So it kind of already evolves into that and it's just like that's how it is.
And also like same-sex couples as well, you know, who would take on that role then? I feel like it's very archaic.
Take on
of protector. The role.
Yeah, I think a lot of them do though. A lot of them kind of do.
Well, can't they both protect each other? Like,
yeah, but a lot of times you'll see that kind of gender role still play out even though it's like same-sex couples.
Okay, I think we went way off tangent. Let's go back to the topic.
Yeah, we did. Let's go back to the topic.
What are your thoughts, Renette?
It's obviously really important to have that balance, but each relationship is different and the balance could be different from one another. You know, it could work for them, but maybe not for you. I think it comes down to having the mindset of 50-50 can cause issues as it may incondition us into thinking that you should always be getting something in return. So like Cindy mentioned, like a give and take, instead of doing it because you want to, you're doing it because you know you'll get something out of it or in return.
Yeah. Teamwork makes the dream work, guys.
Yeah. So you want to work together. You know, you would want it to be more like a teamwork rather than it being a scorekeeping contest, you know, do nice things for them because you want to, not to hold it over their head later. Because I think it's unreasonable to expect that all the time you'll be willing to do half of everything in your relationship and expect your partner to pick up the other half.
So then what would your balance be?
My balance, to put it in numbers, although it doesn't equal to 100, is 60-60.
I went to school. Yeah,
60-60 is 120. But anyways, to me, I see this as, you know, giving what you can and that little bit extra. So it kind of, you know, intertwines or overlaps with the other person and it creates a synergy. Quick definition on synergy is basically the theory in which combined elements, which is my partner and I, produce a total effect that is greater than the sum of an individual element, which is just me on my own. So based on this theory, 1 + 1 = 3.
Wow, quick maths.
When you and your partner come together, you create this synergy. So you feed off each other's efforts and achieve more together than each of you would individually. Why does it have to equal 100%? You know, it can equal 120. If you're putting in the extra 10% on top of your individual effort, you could achieve greater things together, like a little extra on top, like a cherry, but I hate fake cherries, you know.
Yeah. Furthermore, like with the 50-50 ratio, how can you tell what's equivalent to 50-50? Like you might do something for them and then they'll do something different for you. You know, like things aren't seen as equivalent to each other because like each individual has different strengths and weaknesses.
Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. I think like maybe your 50 could be less than their 50. Like let's say your standards are quite high and theirs may not reach yours. Or this can also happen when their values could be different from yours. So maybe, or maybe the love language is different as well. And they may not be able to kind of give you what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. a healthy relationship shouldn't be like a one-way street. You want it to be more like a support system. When two people care about each other, they're not burdened by being aware of carrying their own equal amount of weight. Although at the start of the relationship, you know, when you're first starting off, 50-50 or half-half is probably okay to get things started. And then when you progress, it evolves to a little bit more, because keeping that 50-50 just puts things into boundaries and becomes more conditional, like with your actions, like you become more conditional. What do we think about split bills and paying half the price?
So I err on the side of I'll take this one and you can take the next meal, because personally, splitting the cost of each meal down to that last decimal point is a bit weird. But yeah, that's just me though. Mm-hmm. I know, like back when I was working at the supermarket during uni, trauma flashbacks, couples would actually split down like their grocery bill. They'd be like, oh, can we split it in half? And it'd be like down to the T.
Interesting.
But like if it works for them, like it works for them. But, you know, like I guess if you're living together and paying the house bills and potentially having a joint account for bills and utilities, you can probably both deposit some cash into. So that way it's more fair. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sounds really nice.
It depends on what we're paying for as well. If it's expensive or something like something big like house bills, equal amount isn't bad, but because we'd be both using the same utilities, like you said, the joint account is probably like a good idea. But with meals, sometimes it feels better when it's a, you got this and I'll get the next one. It won't always be of equal value, but it's just the thought of it, like not necessarily the amount. So instead of always splitting down the middle, which can be like a little weird, you know how like, say I bought a more expensive drink and then, you know, does that mean I have to pay that extra $3 because mine was more expensive than yours and things like that? Or sometimes it's like I ordered this, but you know, you didn't really eat much, so you're not going to pay for that part, you know. Which is also a bit weird. What do you think, Christina, about splitting bills?
I don't necessarily split bills. I think it's more like if you're friends and you go out, it's like, oh, they can pay their part, or we can pay for all their part. I don't really mind, because that's like know, you're my friend. But if we're going on a date, just speaking from experience, like splitting bills over time, depends on the type of person you're with, can actually potentially be into you paying the whole bill. Because like some people, they just, when you let them slide a bit, they start slipping like it's freaking ice cream.
Yes,
okay.
Issues.
Like just from my experience, like I love to give. Like naturally I love to give people whatever I can. Like I'm just a natural giver. But I've just noticed that you give a little and some people just take a lot.
Yeah. Maybe they just take advantage of it.
Yeah, definitely.
Another stem off to the 50-50 ratio is that it can also be who has more say in a relationship or who wears the pants. Some people believe that there's no such thing as an equal or 50-50 say, and that there's always someone leading. Like, what do you think about that?
Okay, well, from my experience, I actually do think there is always someone leading, whether or not it looks like it or not. I have taken the role of where I myself am openly leading, and then I've also taken the role where I don't look like I'm leading.
But you are.
The other part, yeah, but I am. Like, I'm not saying much, but it's like my energy and how I'm carrying myself that tells them what to do. But they think it's their idea, you know?
You kind of put the idea in their head.
You know what I mean?
And then make you think like they came up with it.
Yeah, definitely. So I think there is such a thing as leading. It's just, are you subtle about it or are you very open about it? Yeah, what about you?
I don't think there's always someone leading. For example, for my partner and I feel like it's a very coexisting partnership. We always talk about things, discuss or compromise the small things so that we can both get what we want, because we're both very independent individuals. So this can be quite easy for us as well. But like I said, with communication, don't expect what you don't communicate.
Say it louder for the people.
Yeah,
in the back,
yeah, yeah.
Get frustrated.
If you just
keep it, for no reason.
Exactly.
And
if you just keep it all to yourself, it's just like, okay, well, you're not going to ever get it if you don't ever bring it up.
Yeah, that's definitely what a healthy relationship should look like. It's more interdependent rather than codependent.
Yeah. What advice would you give yourself if you were in a relationship?
So my advice would be, I think, focus more on how to make each other's lives better. So you're both giving instead of expecting something in return. I think if you were to say, let's say both sim for each other, it generates a nice dynamic where you both think you're out of each other's leagues and putting each other on a pedestal. You continuously work on winning over each other instead, because this will prevent like one partner getting compliant, which may then lead to building of resentment on the side of the partner that always feels like they're getting nothing, but they're giving everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely know what you're coming from in that sense, I guess, because just for me, I'm just a natural giver. So sometimes when I give, I can devalue myself. So the advice I would give myself is, girl, you're the prize. Like, come on. Like, if you give a woman something, all they're ever going to do is just expand and generate more of that good thing that you gave them. So
put a bow on you.
You know, you're the prize. Yeah, you're the prize. Like, don't settle for anything less. Mm. Like, literally.
Yeah, for me, it's important to understand that a relationship is not always going to be perfectly balanced all the time. I think in true partnership, it's good to keep in mind that working together as a team, which can mean like picking up the slack for the other person when things aren't falling into place, can also be a good thing. A bit like you mentioned, Cindy, which comes down to understanding your partner. If the feeling is mutual, the effort will be equal.
Facts. Mm-hmm,
definitely. No printer.
And with that, good morning, good night, whenever you are. Catch us on the next pod. Bye.
Bye.